You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And now you can leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify as well. Or if you're checking us out on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. Now, let's get to our amazing show. First quarter, kickoff time. You guys know how we rock and roll. It's time for the school check-in. School check-in, unfortunately. It comes after a loss to the Los Angeles Rams. Rams recap, the Vikings lose 30-23. Entertaining ball game. We saw some nice plays on both sides of the football. Primarily speaking, the Vikings defense did a phenomenal job against Matthew Stafford. And unfortunately for me, I had Matthew Stafford on one of my fantasy team. He only gave me 9 points. It was bittersweet. It was sweet because my guy Pat P and the Minnesota Vikings defenders was doing a phenomenal job in harassing and making life difficult for Matthew Stafford, forcing turnovers. That was the sweet part. But the bitter part was I lost because Matthew Stafford didn't give me any numbers. So you know what? If my guy can go out and ball out and his teammates can ball out, I take a loss. There's always next year. But man, that was a big time money part too. Yep. So I'm out. On the next year, but let's recap with Pat P about the game, ball game. Pat P had a real good game, but looking back on what occurred this past Sunday, Pat P, you know, what was the biggest reason for the loss, you think?
Biggest reasons for the loss? I think on defense, you know, I think like you talked about having opportunity, you know, you should have had more turnovers. That could have led to them not scoring, on the offensive side of the ball, being able to put the ball in the end zone off turnovers. You know, that's a point of emphasis that, you know, something we speak about each and every week. Obviously, you know, when a defense creates turnover, you want to get 6 instead of 3. That's every offense philosophy. You know, that's no secret. You know, when your defense create a turnover. Other than that. And also, you know, the big special team play. Anytime a team can have a big special teams play, that can set up a score or end up scoring, you know, you have a pretty good opportunity. I'm a numbers guy, as you know. Yeah. So if a special team, you know, make a play or end up scoring in a game, it's a pretty good opportunity that team is going to win.
I think the numbers say it's 85% chance that team wins if they get a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, so that just goes to show that the numbers are real. You know what I mean? Yeah. So having that big play on us, hurt us a little bit, but you know, we continue to fight. You know, I thought defensively we played well through the air, not giving up many big plays. I think it's one big play I wish we could have had back on 3rd and 4. In the fourth quarter. Other than that, we had a hard time stopping the run. So, you know, if you don't stop the run, it's kind of hard to, you know, stop teams from moving the ball. They pretty much have a two-way play call, you know, when it's time to, you know, call plays into the quarterback. So, those are just some of the things that hurt us and that prevented us from not winning that ball game.
Yeah, talking about stopping the run, Sony Michel, 27 rushes for 131 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, you had 3 interceptions on Matthew Stafford, only getting 10 points off those turnovers. Just imagine getting 1 touchdown would have been huge. Cooper Kupp, 10 receptions for 109, 12th straight. This was the 12th straight one-score game, tied for the longest streak in NFL history. And oh, by the way, you didn't have Dalvin Cook because he was on the COVID list. Looking at some of the quotes coming from Sunday's ball game, superstar wide receiver Justin Jefferson had this to say post game. I felt as soon as I came into the locker room, I was trying to pick up the guys and everything, but still came out slow, still didn't come out with the energy that we needed. He basically insinuating that you guys lack some energy. You know, what was your vibe with the team before the game got rolling? You know, was the energy there? Did you guys, did the lack of energy provided a slow start? You know, what was your mindset with what you saw from the team getting ready for kickoff?
I thought everybody's mind was there. I just think on the offensive side of the ball, when everything don't seem to go the right way or everybody's not on the same page, it could seem like the energy, you know, is not there because everybody's not on the same page. It's now they're kind of focusing on trying to get on the same page. So, you know, from that standpoint, I know it's kind of hard on the offensive side of the ball to get, you know, to kind of get on the same page. A couple bad series with the, you know, defensive line in the backfield, you know, creating havoc, hitting the running back before he can even get the snap, pushing one of our linemen into the running backs, you know, things like that. So, you know, when things like that go wrong, it's hard to try to get yourself going. But I thought as a defense, you know, we tried to calm the fire as best as we could. You know, the first drive, they went down and I think they scored on the first drive. But other than that, I felt like we played a pretty solid, stingy defense, you know, creating a turnover to set up I think we got the first 3 points off Anthony's turnover. Then 2 series later, we came back and get another interception right before half, if I'm not mistaken, 6 minutes before half. Then we get 6 points on that one. So now it's, you know, 10-13, I believe, you know, so now the juice is going, everything's flowing. Now we're into the game, you know, so then obviously, you know, the big punt return happened. You know,
that was another third quarter.
Now they go up 14 again, and then we go back and score. Now I think we got 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because that punt return at that time, when he got that punt return, I think the score was 13-10 in the third quarter, so it made it 20-10 on that punt return. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we went down and got, I think we ended up getting like a field goal to make it a 13-20.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Then they scored and however it went after that. But, you know, I feel as a defense, we tried to get those guys going because it just seemed like the offense wasn't in sync early on in the game. And I think as a defense, we tried to provide, you know, the energy by, you know, create turnovers, getting key third down stops, and just trying to get the ball back so they can find a way to get in their mojo.
Yeah, Zimmer said this about Justin Jefferson's comments on Monday. I think Justin was just frustrated. Hey, we're all frustrated when we don't win a game. We all get frustrated. We all say things 10 minutes after the game that we wish we hadn't said. In my opinion, he just wants to win. And part of that is that he wants to get the ball if he can. I don't think he's calling out anybody. That's not the type of person he is. So, yeah, it's an emotional ball game. Anytime you lose, you know, you feel some type of way. And you should. You should never be content in losing ball games. So that's just the type of player that he is. And hopefully we see a different offense this upcoming week getting ready for another important ball game with you guys. Speaking of, you know, playing and individually, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, Pat Peterson yourself, you had a pretty good game. Didn't give up any catches to Cooper Kupp or OBJ. They were moving around a lot, but anytime you lined up against those guys, you held your own. Your defense recorded 3 interceptions. You should have had a 4th. You had that amazing big time PBU in the red zone, and boy, just didn't bring it in, man. Yeah. It didn't bring it in. Those are the plays you got to make. You got to capitalize on. And for defensive backs, you know what we say, tips and overthrows are supposed to be a given.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a given. But that didn't happen. But, you know, you was out there doing your thing. There was one particular play we want to highlight. I think it was in the third quarter in the red zone for the Rams. Some people are saying it was a crash test dummy-like play. OBJ ran directly into you. He tried to take you out. He must have felt some type of way because you ain't invited him on the show this season. So he just ran straight at you. You went to the sideline. I think he went to the sideline. But before both of you guys were laid out, talk about that play. Because I'm going to ask you one question. I'm going to just ask you. Did you get a threat to the flat?
On that play? Honestly, I can't remember. I know it was stacked. I know Cooper Kupp Cooper Kupp was a stack guy. Odell was a point guy. And then we know they like to run those stack options. in that formation. But I know Odell, when he's in stat formation, he don't run seven routes. So
and a that, seven is a corner.
Yeah, it's a corner seven route. A corner route. What I was doing was I was just literally standing my ground because it was in the red zone. I'm like, he can't beat me deep. So if he's going to beat me across my face, I'm at 10 yards. I'm going to sit exactly where he's going to have to break. So he's going to have to run, literally run through me to get to his route. And that's what I did. I literally sat there, didn't go anywhere. He ran through my leverage, and we ended up just colliding knees.
Yeah, because there was no penalty on that play.
Say it again.
Nothing was called, right?
Nah, nothing was called, but the ref did tell me, said, if the ball was targeted at Odell, it would have been an offensive pass interference.
Really?
But I'm like, an offensive pass interference is an offensive pass interference. Because if a defense was holding away from the ball, guess what's going to be called?
Holding.
Holding. You know what I mean?
Holding. Wait a minute.
Hey, I'm not here talking about the refs. That's just communicating.
Well, I want no fine. That envelope.
I want no fines. No fines.
Wow. So if they would have thrown the football his direction, they would have hit him with an offensive PI. But because the ball didn't come his direction, they just kept it. At the same time,
that's big because that was 3rd and 4.
And moving back.
Exactly. They converted the first. They got first down on that. You know,
they scored 7 points in that drive.
I think they scored 7 points on that drive.
Oh man, that's BS right there. Come on, referees, don't do that. But for our listeners and viewers, I'm pretty sure you guys know football is kind of one sided, where offensive guys kind of get more calls. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all watch the game. You know what I mean? He ain't saying it, but I can't get that FedEx envelope in my locker because I ain't got no locker. But y'all know what we're saying. Keep it real. Don't be biased, listeners and viewers. Y'all know offensive players get more calls than defensive players. And specifically saying that, Pat P just gave us some insight on what the referee told him, which would have been a huge, huge call if it was made. Because correct me if I'm wrong, offensive PI is 10 yards back. It's 15, right?
Oh, man, I think it's...
It's 15?
I think it's 10.
Yeah, 10. They 10 or 15.
They might have changed it to 15, though.
10 or 15. Long story short, if they move them back 10, 15 yards, there was already like 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at 3rd and 15. If it's 10 yards, you're looking at 3rd and 20. If it's 15 yards. And the likelihood of them converting that opportunity is not likely, which would have been huge if you forced them to settle.
Get three.
But in all, it happened. That's the life of a defender, life of a secondary player. But man, you played a good game, man, and another good week of Pat P in the red zone. We saw red zone activity against Chicago. You was active. I love when you talk to the fans too. I know you were at home, so you really couldn't talk to the fans. But I like when you get it cracking with the fans when you're on the road. You talk to the fans in the Chicago Bears end zone. That play on their tight end as well, I think it was Jimmy Graham. You had two big-time plays last Monday night. And then this week, past Sunday, once again, you showed up in the red zone. Talk about some of your red zone production and just having a knack for where things are going to happen, where the ball is going to go, most importantly.
Well, like we talked about, you know, all year long, you know, just understanding where you are on the field, you know, understanding what teams like to do in the red zone. Most teams like to attack, you know, the goalposts, meaning the inside the numbers, because it's a safer throw for the quarterback.
Red zone beaters.
Red zone beaters. So for one, I'm protecting my inside because I know that's where offenses want to attack me, either with double posts or wraps, or all-go specials. They even got now, and nowadays, this came up within like the last three or four years in the NFL, the fade, I don't even know what they call it, but the fade front pylon route. It's like a fade comeback almost.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be a little leery of that route, but just understanding where you are on the part of the field, understanding what teams like to do, what can hurt you, what can't hurt you, and just play to your leverage. You know, that's the biggest thing, honestly, man. Just play to your leverage. Be where you're supposed to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Understand, you know, where all your help is. Understand where you know, where you can get beat at, you know, where your weaknesses are. So, and understand also teams can't run deep. They can't run past you in the red zone. So you can be much slower than you are when you are defending passes in the field. So that was why one of the reasons why I was able to stand my ground
against OBJ. And you said something that triggered, you know, my antennas. You said when OBJ was in a stack alignment as the point guy, he wasn't running seven cuts.
No, he so, never run seven.
And for our listeners and viewers, football is so mental. And the film study is so important. So based on your week of preparation, I don't know how many routes you watched of OBJ, Cooper Kupp, or Vance. But I'm sorry, Jefferson. Yeah. But you were able to distinguish and understand, I know the routes I can get, and I know the routes I'm not going to get. How much time do you devote, Pat P, you think, estimate, getting ready for a Sunday ball game? How much time do you devote in watching tape?
Well, you know, it's when meetings, 3 hours of the day, 3 hours out of the day as far as film studying.
At meetings, when you're in meetings with the group. Yep.
And then I spend about, you know, an hour and a half after that, you know, each day at home. And then obviously when we travel, I'll watch some tape on the plane. And then after the game, I'm on to the next team. You know, as soon as after the game, I watch the game we just played. And then I'm watching, you know, whoever our next opponent. Like yesterday, for an example, you know, watched the game when I got home, had dinner with the family, got the kids all cleaned up, watched the game. And heck, I started watching the Green Bay game right after I watched ours.
So it's safe to say you watch probably around 4 to 4.5 hours a day of film.
Yeah.
4 to 4 hours a day, around that. Okay. And being able to be comfortable enough. So when you're watching tape, I love being able to get some nuances here or there from different defenders. Do you particularly try to highlight, because it's almost impossible to remember every route you see, because you probably watch 4 games leading up to that game of past weeks, right? And then you might watch something from early in the year, but do you try to distinguish certain route patterns and combinations that, you know, when I get this formation, this is my key, this is my go-to?
Like, yeah,
how you go about your business?
Yeah, I highlight formations, where the receiver is located, especially if I have a matchup. Mm-hmm. Where the receiver is located, it tells me a lot. And so location, formation, and I do a top 5 routes. So like this week, we got Cooper Kupp, we got Odell Jefferson. So for Odell, my top 5 routes for him is when he's condensed, he's running an over.
Meaning he's tight to the line of scrimmage.
Yes, when he's tight to the line of scrimmage, and this is when he's by himself condensed, though, because he is condensed sometimes with Cooper Kupp. So when he's single condensed, he'll run the overs, he'll run the deep bike routes, which is a deep 18-yard curl. Mm-hmm. He'll run. They'll sprinkle in the outs, but they only ran there like 3 times this year. And mind you, he only been there, you know what, 4 games. So
yeah,
that's a very low probability route that I got to cover for. When he's by himself. So now, when he's with a receiver in stack, so now his routes change a little bit. So he'll give me a little bit of a deep. He'll still give you the over, but it's going to be a little bit deeper. He'll give you the post. He'll give you the dig. So I go down to the top 5 routes, and I go with Jefferson. Anytime he's in anytime he's outside wide, outside the numbers, he's more of a vertical threat type guy. He'll run curls occasionally, but he's more down the field type receiver, especially if he's if he's the number one receiver in 3x1. Mm-hmm. They love to run the digs. They love to run the dagger combination with him. Behind zone coverages and Cooper Kupp, he's pretty much a wild card. You know, he's always that stat guy. He's always that option guy. He's the guy that pretty much had the liberty to do what he wants, meaning he has the liberty to attack the deep defender leverage. So whatever he feels a good way for him to go, that's where he's going to go. You know what I mean? So they do a good job of moving him around. So Cooper Kupp runs a lot of if he's so Cooper Kupp, the thing about Cooper Kupp, if he's outside of the bunch, he will give you more of the outs. He'll give you more. He give you a little bit more of everything. He's not a down the field guy, so that's one thing you don't have to worry about him. You don't have to worry about, you know, any routes past 15 if he's outside.
Yeah.
So he run more of the speed outs, more of the digs, things like that. So that's kind of how I break it down in totality of watching film. Like you said, I watch a bunch of stuff. But going through all of that stuff, I'm going through the top five routes they run the most.
Mm-hmm.
E formations that can pop up, you know, that show up that they like to feature in games, mm-hmm. and also locations of the receivers.
Mm, that's dope. That's dope. Well said. Nice knowledge.
And if it's a match too, yeah. If I have a matchup, I want to see. I'll go through previous game to see how. The receiver reacts off press coverage.
Press coverage, yeah. Cool insight coming from one of the great ones. Pat P telling you guys a little bit of what he does when it comes to prep. And it's not just about the physical standpoint. It's about the mental guy putting in over 4 hours a day when it comes to film, then getting ready for the next ball game. Talk about a matchup. There's a primetime matchup. I remember when we were together in Minnesota during training camp, I asked Justin Jefferson, is there a matchup that he's looking forward to this upcoming season? And you remember, Pat P, he said he had it scheduled, or he had it circled already on the schedule. The Rams coming to Minnesota. He wanted to go against Jalen Ramsey. This matchup was highlighted by two outstanding top-level guys in their positions going toe-to-toe. Now, they didn't face off every time, but they had a few battles. You know, Jefferson finished the day with 8 catches for 116, lined up opposite of Jalen 5 times. No, he had 5 targets when lined up against Jalen Ramsey. He brought in 3 of those targets for 24 yards. Man, talk about that matchup. You know what I mean? Jalen is a guy who's, you know, learned a lot from you. And of course, you know, your relationship with Justin Jefferson. But did you get a chance to kind of get a sneak peek about, you know, looking at that one-on-one matchup with these two premier level guys going toe-to-toe?
Oh yeah, I watched it for sure. You know, it was very intriguing to watch, and those are the type of things I love to watch because, you know, what Jalen's what, year 8 now?
I think 7, maybe 7. I want to say
7. Yeah. I just remember those times when, you know, I had those, you know, marquee matchups with, you know, the Calvin Johnson, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones. The list goes on, and you know, and he knows what you know the work. The grind, the dedication that it takes to, you know, go up against these top tier receivers week in and week out. And not only week in and week out, but 4 quarters. You know what I mean? That's a tough task to be able to not only endure, you know, the intensity of the game and, you know, the excitement of the game and things like that, but also being able to stay tuned on the business that you have to take care of. So it was a fun matchup for me to watch.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, two young guys going at it, two young guys that's going to be etched in this league for forever. You know what I mean? Both of those guys, you know, are Hall of Fame type players.
No question.
You know, so it was a fun matchup, and you know, I'm just hoping that we would have got the dub as a team. But unfortunately, we didn't. But at the end of the day, it was great to see, you know, Justin, you know, make history, you know.
Oh, yes.
Only in his second year in the league. And like I said, I think I said this as well, coming into this season, he will be a top 3, top 5 receiver.
You did say that.
Right now, you know, I think statistically he's a top 3 receiver. Yeah. But, you know, arguably could be, you know, number 1 in anyone's book. So, it's just amazing to see the things that he's able to accomplish throughout his young career. And I'm happy to see it all unfold.
Speaking about Justin Jefferson, record-breaking day, he surpassed OBJ for most receiving yards in first 2 seasons in NFL history. Randy Moss is 3rd on that list. Jerry Rice is 4th. You talk about some names. Mm-hmm. Man. So we see you, Jefferson. Yes, it was a loss, but he was able to make history yesterday. Talk about another premier Hall of Fame-like player, Aaron Donald. Man, every time it seemed like you guys are trying to run the football, Aaron Donald was in the backfield. Man, what makes him so dominant? And is he probably the most dominant defender you've seen?
It's hard not to say he isn't. I mean, I probably have to put, you know, him. You know, I had opportunity to play with P. Will, or had opportunity to play against P. Willie, Patrick Willis.
Yeah,
at a linebacker spot, he was a game changer.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you another one too, Patrick Willis teammate.
Oh yeah,
Alden Smith.
Yes.
So I saw
some good ones, but to do what Aaron is doing in the interior line, this man get triple team, double team. He beat and reach blocks. This dude is really doing like some Reggie White, Jerome Brown type stuff, bro. That's what he would really remind me of. You know, I know Jerome didn't have a very, very long career in the league, but he has that same body structure, short.
He's just shorter. Yeah.
He's just a little bit shorter, but just
a little leaner,
agile. And I'm not saying this as a knock, as a nasty football player. You know, some people can take that.
Yeah. No, please. No. That's how you want your guys to play.
He's just a dog mentality, just football player, and he loves the game. It's hard to stop that guy, man. It really is. And I was just seeing, like you said, every time it didn't matter what we did. I mean, run the ball.
It didn't matter.
He's unstoppable. I mean, we're just watching, you know, it, not only watching on the sideline, but the dude been doing it for the last 5 years.
And you know what? And you can talk about the work that goes in, but when you see guys like an Aaron Donald that plays in the trenches, they usually do one or the other very, very well. Like, they might be more physical. They might not be a technician, but the physical nature just is what they do well. And they can sprinkle in some of the technique fundamentals here or there. If you had the
pass rusher, run defender.
Energy, he's at like level 10. Technique, he's level 10. Fundamentals, he's level 10. Strength, tenacity, the meanness, the bulliness, all of those are 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And he never's tired. He plays with energy. And he's just, like you say, he's a dog. He is a guy who really don't like you when he's going against you. And I think, me personally, I grew up, when I was a child, I started loving the New York Football Giants because of Lawrence Taylor. And it was something about Lawrence Taylor that when I was a little boy, I was like, man, they're afraid of Lawrence Taylor. I can tell they are afraid of Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. And you know you're a dominant player when someone is afraid of you and you're not even playing. Like, you saw the fear in coaches' faces, but they wasn't even standing up in front of Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
The real dominant players make you afraid of them. I remember watching Michael Jordan when I was growing up because I was a Laker fan, right? And anytime Jordan played the Lakers, I was afraid because I didn't know what he was going to do and how well he was going to do it. Think about that. Think about someone watching as a fan, like, That's why the Bean, Kobe Bean Bryant was a goon, because people was afraid of me. Like, man, don't piss him off.
Yeah, just let him be.
Aaron Donald is that type of player. Like, hey, man, chill out. Don't piss him off, because he already going to give us everything we want, but don't give him a reason.
Right.
don't give him a reason to give us even more. So LT would be my most dominant defender I ever seen, like NFL player. Like, LT was just on a whole nother.
Hey, and I would say too.
Who else? He's got
early JJ Watt.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hey, JJ Watt was getting more picks and corners at one point.
JJ Watt was but the thing about JJ Watt, he was so dominant, but he wasn't as mean.
Yeah, he was
Aaron Donald.
No. Aaron Donald,
Aaron Donald mean, man.
Yeah, he is.
Aaron Donald's that type of dog you put in his own cage.
He like that new breed of pit bulls, that bully. He's that bully.
Yeah, you don't let him co-mingle. He got to be by himself, because they don't tell him what he look at. Man, I see this man be grabbing grown men by their face, man. It's like, come here. Like, man, that man is. But hey, that's what you got to have. The great ones are different. They got different elements to what they do. And Aaron Donald, man, he had 5 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hits, and a big time sack, man. Yeah, we should go ahead and throw this out on social media, man. The most dominant individuals that ever played in the National Football League. I would have LT number one. I have Aaron Donald number two. But Aaron Donald, when you look at where he's going trajectory wise,
in that category, Jack.
Yeah, in that category. Yes, sir. Now it's time for Packers preview. Ooh, the Green Bay Packers mad at y'all. Because a few weeks ago, they traveled to Minnesota, and it didn't end as well as they would like for it to end. Now y'all got to go to the Lambeau Sunday Night Football primetime. Pat P, the last time you guys played on Sunday night, you didn't play, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was against Dallas.
Yep.
Primetime Sunday Night Football. And I remember you told me one of your favorite times to play is at Sunday night. Sunday night. You got you what you got? You gonna give us some purple cleats? What you gonna wear for us? You gonna wear some purple cleats?
I'm like Iron Mike.
You had purple cleats on when y'all had them color rush. What game
I had
was that?
The black cleats wouldn't look right with that. I had to go purple with them.
That was against Chicago.
Nah, that was against the Steelers. Cause that was our color rush game.
Oh yeah. The purple cleats, man. I like them purple cleats, but
because it got the gold on it, so it don't look good with the unis, especially when we had the white numbers.
Okay. Well, you're going to wear your black gloves and your black cleats then, like you said.
Yes, Mike Tyson. Iron Mike, man. Mike Tyson style, man.
Primetime, man. Minnesota's third primetime game in 4 weeks, man. It's an opportunity to continue to showcase what you can do on a national stage. But I'm excited, and I need to hear from you. Well, this is what the weatherman is saying. The weatherman predicts it's supposed to be 2 degrees at kickoff on Sunday night. It will probably dip into the negatives. Have you ever played anything like that, Pat P?
Nope, but I'm ready.
Ooh, you better get them buys and tries ready.
I'm ready.
That thing gonna be cutting. Ooh. For me, I kind of know a little bit about that. I played the majority of my career at Pittsburgh. Pat P was been to Arizona, and he was in a dome.
Yeah.
He go to Minnesota, he's still in the dome. But no sleeves, right?
No sleeves, man.
Give us a little insight about when you're playing in these type ball games. What do the NFL provide, your equipment guys provide for you to kind of be as warm as possible, even if you're not wearing sleeves? Do you wear different undershirt? Do you wear different, tights underneath your pants? Do you wear any toe warmers, fingers?
Oh, yeah. Definitely got the toe warmers.
The toe warmers didn't work for me, Pat P.
Yeah, you got the toe warmers. You got the obviously the hand warmers, but I had the hand warmers inside my football pads. I had to buy my knee pads.
Huh?
You ain't never tried that, huh, Matt?
I ain't never tried that.
Everybody was looking at me different when I tried it, man. I had two warmers up under my knee pad and 2 under my thigh pads. So I got 2 on each leg. Yeah.
And when that heat wear out, you put new ones in there?
Yes, sir. Halftime, switched them out, Jack.
But fresh heat. I don't see you have the pouch. You don't wear the hand.
So I had the pouch. I got the
and your jersey like a quarterback.
Yeah. So what I did?
What made you do that?
So they said that helped keep the body warm. So what I did was, because now the pouch is closer to your it's closer to your skin.
Yeah.
So I put about eight hand warmers in there. So now my body, my triceps, now that's all warm.
Yeah.
So now you go to the sideline, huh?
You cheating.
Now all I'm doing is put my coat on. So I'm chilling. And I got the head thing on looking like a jack boy. And I'm ready to rock. And I got the beanie on too.
Oh, so you got the hand warmers inside your stomach, your ab area.
Yeah,
and you got hand warmers in your thighs and your knees. And the toe.
So they put the hand warmer in, like they made it within the jersey.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I don't usually only see quarterbacks have them type jerseys.
Yeah, everybody normally only see quarterbacks with that. When I asked for it, they said, hey, quarterbacks on that. I said, yeah, I know. But a P2 on it.
Well, you got it. Boy, I know you're going to have a bunch of hand warmers because it's going to be 2 degrees. And you better hope that wind don't cut.
Like 10 of them in there, boy.
Well, if that wind go to cutting, man, make sure you got some chapstick because them lips going to be the first thing to go.
I know.
Well,
I might have a chapstick inside my hand warmers.
Vaseline. We used to put that Vaseline on that arm, man. Come out looking like a wrestler. Thought that was doing something. That wasn't doing nothing. That wind going to cut. It's going to cut. It didn't matter. But, man, 2 degrees, Green Bay, Lambeau Field. Big time win in week 11 against the Green Bay Packers. What's probably some of the one of the biggest things you can take away from the first meeting against Green Bay when you guys were able to win that ball game?
I think we was able to harass Aaron a lot in that game, early on in that game. I think towards the second half of the game, we allowed him to get a little comfortable and giving up some big plays over our heads. So,
yep.
I think if we're allowed to eliminate the big plays, continue to aggravate them a little bit, offense, sustain and drive, put points on the board. I think hopefully we can hope for the same outcome that we had last time.
Aaron Rodgers is putting together an MVP-like year. He is the favorite right now to win the MVP award. He's 12-2 as a starter, 33 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, over 3,600 yards. He leads the league in touchdown percentage, lowest interception percentage, quarterback rating. When you look at some of the great quarterbacks you played against, Pat P, where would you rank Aaron Rodgers? All time.
Right now, I put Aaron Rodgers at number 3. I put Tom Brady 1, Peyton Manning 2, Peyton Manning 2, Aaron Rodgers 3. I go Dangerous Russ 4. I would like to have Ben up there higher, but only played against Ben literally twice.
Mm-hmm.
I put Philip. Hold on, wait. Let me go back first. Make sure I ain't forgetting nobody. Yeah, that'd be my top five, but I have Aaron Rodgers at 3. The top quarterbacks that I played against.
That's fair. I think my list looks similar. I probably would have Tom 1, Peyton 2, Aaron.
Oh, I forgot about Drew Brees too. So
Drew Brees would be 4.
But I'll have Aaron over Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think that's fair. One key for the Vikings defense versus Green Bay's offense. What would it be?
He don't do many of them, but create turnovers.
yeah, he's smart with that football. Yeah,
he don't do many of them, but try to create some turnovers, boy.
And the best way to do that is hit them.
Yeah.
Hit them. And you guys do a great job in sacking the quarterbacks. You're tops in the league when it comes to that category. Sacks are important, but just making him rush is important as well. Throwing the football when he's not quite ready to throw the football. That's something that you guys can definitely do to create turnover. So when you look at offensively for the Vikings, what's a huge key the Vikings offense need to do against Green Bay's defense?
We got to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to run the football, especially in this weather, be able to get Kirk comfortable into doing things that he's comfortable doing, meaning play action, boot, rolling out. That's when Kurt is at his best. So, and we can't do that if the running game is not there. So we got to be able to run the football.
What type of playoff hopes are you clinging on to? You guys got a 10, Vikings have a 10% chance to make the playoffs currently as it stands today. How hopeful are you when it comes to trying to get into the tournament?
Well, obviously we need some help, but at the end of the day, we just have to still try to win the games that's on the schedule for us. All we have to do is just worry and focus on us. And that's all we can do at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's prediction time. I'm 4-2, by the way, when I pick against the Minnesota Vikings. So if you're new to the show, I started off picking the Vikings. They were losing. I tried something different. Pick against the Vikings. They were winning. Fans told me, keep doing what you're doing. Be mad. So last week, my score prediction was 26-24, right? That was last week. The Vikings lost 30-23. So this prediction, my prediction for this week's game in Lambeau Field, where it's going to be 2 degrees, something about that weather. I think it's going to be a low scoring affair. I'm going to get an ugly score. I'm going to go 19-14 Green Bay Packers. Ugly. Because the weather going to be ugly. 19-14 Green Bay Packers. It's going to be ugly. You're going to see. You're going to have 30 hand warmers all over from head to toe. So you already know what type it's going to be.
Like a furnace.
No question. 19-14 Green Bay Packers. Let's see how close I come. And like I said, I'm picking against the Vikings on purpose. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with some notable news from the NFL, and we'll be answering your questions next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Pat P, notable news from this past weekend, slate of ball games. Sunday night, sideline scuffle. Washington got embarrassed against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Daron Payne jabbed a finger into his teammate's head, Jonathan Allen, and Allen swung at him. The emotions definitely were high. Have you ever been involved or seen anything like that person up close in person where you got two defenders going at it on the sideline, literally?
Nah, never had an opportunity to be a part of that, and don't want to have an opportunity to be a part of that for sure. So
I mean, you know, when you put your hand in somebody's head and you kind of push them with your finger, like, come on. Especially when we're getting whooped. Like, we can't do nothing right. You mad at your job. I'm mad at my job. Everybody mad, and that's what you're going to hit me with. And they played together at Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they played together.
Oh, man, yeah. That was all bad. You don't do that, man. That's a guy code right there for sure.
And I'm going to tell you this much real quick. I was in three fantasy playoff leagues this past weekend, and I was playing against the Cowboys defense, and I had Cowboys kicker. Washington allowed the Cowboys to score 50 plus points on all touchdowns. They didn't force them to kick one field goal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I lost that league too because Washington defense gave them 29 points. Iron unkind, man. Iron unkind. Man. Don't get involved in it, Pat P.
Nope.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And other notable news, there's going to be some jobs available coming soon. The Raiders have interest in interviewing Todd Bowles. Your guy, Todd Bowles, man, might get an opportunity to be a new head coach soon. The Jaguars are interested in interviewing Byron Leftwich, my former teammate with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why do you believe these guys deserve to be a head coach?
I had the opportunity to be around both of these guys. You know, I always thought Todd was a great football mind. Obviously, had the opportunity to be around him for 2 years, and you know, he went on to be the head coach with the Jets. Yep. Felt like that wasn't a really good situation for him, but he made do with what he had. Great stepping stone for him. But you know, now that learning curve is over, I think he's definitely more than ready to for another crack at it. You know, doing what he's able to do with every defense that he's been a part of, and just a very, very guy that I feel that's very worthy of a head coaching job. And the same thing with Byron. Had the opportunity to be around him. He was our quarterback's coach when Carson was here under BA staff, and just seeing what he was able to do there in Tampa Bay to win a championship, being a first-year offensive coordinator and being able to do some of the things that he's able to do on the offensive side of the ball, the way his offense has ranked in the last 2 years, months, all the other offenses. I think these guys are definitely more than ready for those opportunities. I hope that they get the opportunity that that's been waiting for them. And
yes, sir.
Best of luck.
Time will tell. Time will tell. Now it's time to dish out an award. Usually we hand out two awards, offensively and defensively. But this week, we're going to do something different. We're going to just hand out one award. Why? Because this is the only individual that should get an award. We're dishing out All Things Covered Award for guys that lived up to our show name and having everything covered. All Things Covered. It goes to an LSU alum, Joe Kubrow. Boy, let me tell you something. Joe threw for 525 yards against the Ravens. It's the fourth most by a player in a game in NFL history. He's the first player in NFL history with 525 passing yards, four touchdowns, zero interceptions in a ball game. He's the first player in NFL history with two 400-yard passing games against a single opponent in a single season. He had 417 yards against the Ravens at the Ravens in week 7. His 941 yards against the Ravens this season are the most by one player against one team in a season in NFL history, breaking a record shared by Dan Marino and Joe Montana. That's why we're only giving out one award. When you get all these record-setting numbers in this ball game, it goes out to LSU alum and Joe Kubrow for throwing for over 500 yards and four touchdowns against his arch rival.
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers! In the words of Coach O. Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, he felt some type of way. He had these comments leading up to the game when asked to compare the Packers to the Bengals. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think we're ready to buy a gold jacket. He said, buy a gold jacket for Joe Burrow. Joe had this to say after the Bengals win over the Ravens. I didn't think it was necessary. It was a necessary comment. I wouldn't say I was offended by it. I mean, I'm in year two. Who knows what's going to happen down the road, but I didn't think it was necessary. So there's some issues going on between Joe and the Baltimore Ravens. I'm here for all of it. I love it. I love it. And that's what rivalries are supposed to be. So let's see what happens next year when these teams face off, because for some reason, Joe loved playing against the Baltimore Ravens. Now it's time to give you guys some updates on our All Things Covered merchandise. You see I'm rocking the t-shirt. All Things Covered merch is now available in the CBS Sports store. You can get your ATC hats, hoodies, tanks, water bottles, mugs, and much, much more. Just visit store.cbs.com. The link will also be in the episode description. Get the holiday shopping done right now. Even though Christmas is over, you can still shower down someone with some magnificent gifts when it comes to All Things Covered merchandise. 7 questions. Here is an opportunity for us to interact with you, our listeners and our viewers. If you want your question to be answered in the show, just leave it attached to a 5-star rating. So this is the final episode of the year for both of us. So it's time to reflect back on this magnificent 2021 season and year for us. Pat P, what was the best part of your 2021 year?
Doing the show?
Just in general. Just in general.
Just in general? Like,
yeah, what was the best part of your 2021?
Being able to rock number 7 in the league.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. I think that's something that's big. You know, that's something that's, as a kid, you always wanted to rock a single digit in the league at the biggest stage of them all. And to be able to rock that 7 this year and some familiar colors was pretty big for me.
Yeah, and what are you most looking forward to in 2022?
Just that, have an opportunity to play for it all. You know, just have an opportunity. You know, just have an opportunity to get into the dance. That's all.
I love it. I think for me, the best part of 2021 for me, what was my best part? I think, well, one of the best parts for me, I won a lot of parlays this year.
That you was probably official. You was officially named the Paulie King this year. I think that was pretty good.
Let me tell you something. I ain't even get a chance to share this with you, but I just hit another parlay this past weekend. I hit a five teamer and a six teamer. Heavy. I hit my five teamer consists of Cincinnati. I had the under in Tampa and Carolina game, Kansas City first half, Philly and the Cowboys. Then my six teamer was Buffalo, the Jets, the Bears, Cincy, the Eagles, and the Rams. I had it. So I think those were the best parts for me. What I'm looking forward to the most in 2022, of course, continuing the show, getting a chance to do some Super Bowl work out in L.A. I don't know. I guess to see what else next. And oh, by the way, my guy, he's building a home. He's going to have a podcast studio in the home. I can't wait to get a chance to do a few shows in the in the new studio. Live and in color. So I'm looking forward to that. And most importantly, good health and staying out of the way.
Yes, that's it.
Just staying out of the way.
So that's it.
Hopefully you guys do the same. Just stay out of the way. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, because we all fighting the same battle.
Yes, sir. That's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back again Thursday, where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
Peace.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.